Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue our studies in the fruits of the Christian life. And the subject which we wish to consider on the broadcast today is the fruits of righteousness. In the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ has just a few precious hours left with his disciples on the very eve of his crucifixion. He tells them, "I want you to be fruitful." And in that portion of Scripture, we see 3 degrees of fruit bearing: fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And I want you to be fruitful. And I think that we have taken the theme verse for this series of studies in the 8th verse of the 15th chapter of John's Gospel. The Lord is the speaker. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Now, we'll introduce our subject today, the fruits of righteousness, with 2 verses. One found in James chapter 3, verse 18. "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." All right, the next verse is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness," the fruit of righteousness, singular, "unto them that are exercised thereby." Now you will notice, please, that peace and righteousness are linked together. Those two words are linked together. And we're going to expand that a little bit later. We're going to go into our subject today by asking 2 questions and seeking to answer them. What does righteousness mean? What is the meaning of righteousness? Well, righteousness is the doing of that which is right. Righteousness is being just, equitable, consistent, and without prejudice. In the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, we see that God is righteous. That is one of his attributes. He is a righteous God, and he is all of these. He is equitable, consistent, just, and without prejudice. Now, he keeps his own rules, and there must be basic rules for righteousness. Righteousness is like the constitution of a country. And God is righteous. And the Lord Jesus, in that 17th chapter, addresses his Father this way. Verse 25 of the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, he's praying to the Father. This is the real Lord's high priestly prayer. "O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me." Righteousness is an attribute of God, and he wants to see us come into his character. We've said that so many times. Suffer me to say it once again. God wants us to come into his character and into the character of his Son. Now, how can I become righteous? Now, I think that we can read profitably the second epistle of Corinthians, chapter 5, and verses starting at verse 19. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read it with us. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now this is an act of imputation. He does not impute the world's sins to them. And this is the word of reconciliation. He says, "You're ambassadors. Go tell people this, that God imputed your sins to Christ. He reckoned them. He charged them to Christ's account." and Christ died on the cross for you and for me. You see, God is holy. God must punish sin. And the scripture says the wages of sin is death. Sin can only be punished by death. Death is separation from God in the realest sense. Now, God separated our sins from us, that is, he reckoned our sins to Christ, and he died for them. Our sins were placed on Christ when he was on that cross, and he bore them into death and then rose again from the dead. And believe me, he left our sins behind. They were submerged in death. They're gone. Gone forever. Christ died for our sins. Now, that's the gospel. That's the story that we can tell the world. Now, does that mean that the world's going to be saved? I'm very fearful it does not mean that. You must accept it as a gift from God. God laid our sins upon Christ. And really, accept him. The first step in gaining righteousness before God is by believing God and accepting Christ. That seems so simple. I think we should expand on that. We read in the first chapter of Romans, verses 16 and 17, these words. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul is writing to the Romans, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And listen to this, please. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall not live by faith. God is consistent with his own character, with his own attributes. And our sins were laid on Christ. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. I think we would understand this better, perhaps, if it would say, therein is the mercy of God revealed. Now, God does not compromise his character in forgiving us our sins because they're paid for. Christ paid for our sins on the cross, and God remains righteous. If you want to know how righteous God is, go to the cross. Look upon that cross and see that Holy One dying there, breathing in pain, seeing him die for your sins and for mine. And when he was on that cross, God didn't pull any punches. He is righteous. Christ suffered what a guilty world should have suffered, that we might not have to suffer it. Now, our sins were imputed to Christ on the cross, but now his righteousness is imputed to us. We read in Romans chapter 4 concerning Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed, or it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, later on in that same fourth chapter of the book of Romans, we read these words. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, that is, that he was going to have a son when he was at the age of 100, and Sarah was at the age of 90 when Isaac was born. He staggered not at the promise of God. God says, I'm going to give you a son, through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now listen carefully. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us all also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, the moment that you and I put our trust in Christ, believing that he paid the debt of our sin, believing that God means what he says and says what he means, putting our trust in it, that moment the Spirit of God brings the life of Christ within us, and that righteousness of Christ is imputed to you and to me. That's the kind of righteousness that will take us to heaven. Not our own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ imputed to me, that fits me for heaven. That is my standing. Now, my state may not quite be that way. My state may not be indeed come up to my standing in the practical sense, but God wants us to improve our righteousness by the fruits of righteousness, and they are delectable. They are so pleasurable and pleasurable to God, the fruits of righteousness. Now, to go to those verses that we spoke of earlier, which we did not expound, we read in James chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above, God's wisdom, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown of them that make peace. Now, how can I bring my personal righteousness? How can I bring my state up to my standing? Well, simply by believing God, seeking God's wisdom and guidance for my life. Did you notice, please, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Peace and righteousness go together. When I am in tune with God, when I am synchronization, the young people says, when I'm in sync with God, then everything goes well. He runs his universe in an orderly fashion, and he wants me to be righteous. And when I am, it pays off. And now here we have Hebrews chapter 12, God there in that chapter, we will not have time to expound it. In that chapter, God deals us with us as sons. And when the son gets out of line, God takes him to task. And he says, he does it out of love. Our fathers chastened us for their own pleasing, but God chastens us out of love. He wants us in his character. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Peaceable fruits of righteousness in synchronization with God. Now, how do we get that righteousness in the practical sense? By accepting God's chastisement and submitting to it. By seeking God's wisdom and guidance for our lives. Keeping in close touch with God. May God help us to be righteous in the practical sense. Thank God we are in the total sense. It was imputed to us the moment we believed. Father, help us in faith to accept our standing in Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.